भूल जाएंगे हर हम तेरा न भूलेंगे, करबला न भूलेंगे, करबला न
भूलेंगे। بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي جعل الحمد مفتاحا لذكري وسببا للمزيد من فضلي ودليلا على آلائه وعظمتي والحمد لله الذي هدانا لولاية إمام زماننا وآبائه الطاهرين ثم صلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض أإله مع الله بل أَإِلَهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. صدق الله العلي العظيم. First and foremost, I give my condolences to all of you on the shahadat, martyrdom of Imam Hussein, his companions, and his family. And this particular majlis, we've reached pretty much to the last verse of the five verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins, Amman, Amman, that is he not the one who has done these things? Amman khalaqa al-samawati wal-arud, is he not the one who has created the heavens and earth? Amman ja'ala al-arudha qararan, is he not the one who has made the earth stable? أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرِّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ, is he not the one who answers the prayer and the call of the one who is in need? أَمَّنْ يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, is he not the one who has guided you in the darkness? He has guided you in the land and the sea. In that last verse of Surah Al-Namla that begins أَمَّنْ, verse 64, chapter 28, 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ وَمَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ فِي السَّمَاءِ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَيْلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْحَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states that, is he not the one who has brought forth this creation? يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ, and he brings back this creation to him. Is he not the one who has provided sustenance for you from the heavens, from the sky, from the earth? Is there any God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And say to all of those who disbelieve in this, hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen, that bring your proof if you're truthful in your claim. So on one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is addressing this issue, which again, it is an important issue, an issue that for a long time man has been searching for. That what is the beginning of our universe? What is our beginning? And we mentioned this yesterday about, again, one theory that has been put forth, the theory of evolution. But again, it's a theory, something to contemplate, something to reflect. But in order to, again, to establish our lives, to base our lives upon something that we need Qur'an, we need something that is factual, something that, again, has a strong foundation. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling to, that He is the one who's created. He is the one who began this universe. And some say that it has begun by chance. Has it begun by chance? Or, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, that He is the one who started it. He is the one who began it. He is the one who placed in it order. And at times, as we mentioned last night, that some say that science and religion does not match or there's a problem. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He placed all of these signs in this universe. And one of the verses He speaks about, He says that He is the one who's created the heaven, He is the one who's created the earth. وَتَصْرِيفُ الرِّيَاحِ. Last time we spoke about the wind. He is the one who has sent this wind. And all of these things, آيَاتٌ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. As signs for those who reflect. For a nation that thinks and reflects and ponders these signs. Ponders them in order to understand them. Ponders them to understand the reason for these things. Who has brought these things into being? Who has placed such order in this universe? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, He is the one. يَبْدَأُ الْخَلَقُ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ. But of course, in our time, we see that there's only one view, or at least although there are multiple theories, one view is kind of pushed out in the forefront over others, even to the point that to teach an alternative theory to evolution, that no, perhaps there is an intelligent design. Perhaps it's not just a fluke chance that there's two asteroids or something, it crashed into each other. Perhaps there's some other reason, some other explanation. But unfortunately, only one theory is put forth, even to the point to teach an alternative theory becomes illegal. Becomes illegal. Why did this involve? This challenges the, or poses a challenge to the separation of church and state. But if we're truly rational beings, and we're truly individuals who are supposed to think and supposed to be objective, then why not have both theories taught? Why not have our minds to look into both things, to reflect upon both possibilities, and then choose the best, whichever one makes more sense? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in this verse, the last verse, He says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. That if you're truthful about what you say, then fine, bring it. That's the theory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting forward, or at least the facts, as we claim that facts are true, that what our understanding of the universe, bring them forth, and you bring your understanding forth. And this is, again, the challenge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over and over He states this. He doesn't say that, okay, well, just be silent. No, He says, if you're truthful, bring it. Come. Let's compare. You listen to what this side says, you listen to what the other side says, and compare, and take the best of it. هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And our religion, and the reason why, again, we are told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are encouraged by Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam, again, to read, to understand, to contemplate. Multiple times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran that in kuntum ta'qilun, that only if you reflect, only if you think. That this is a religion or a way of life that is based upon our intellect. This is a way of life that's based upon, again, thinking, reflecting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not bring this haphazardly. Nor are we to establish our faith and our religion, our way of life, based upon qiyas. Based upon, again, just opinions without any foundation. As Imam Sadiq alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He stated, "Inna deen Allah lam yudha bil ara wal maqayis," that the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not founded upon ara, opinions, and fallacious analogy. It's not based upon that. It's not founded upon that. Unfortunately, sometimes we see those who, again, making chaos, people assuming that, okay, well, this is the way I should do things. Rather than understanding exactly how they should be, exactly how they should live or carry their life out. We don't base our religion, our way of life, upon assumptions. But rather we base our way of life upon, again, upon knowledge. So what? And this is why we mentioned that last night. If someone wants to speak about evolution, in fact, there have been some scholars who have interpreted one of the verses of Quran, particularly verse 45 of Surah Rum, so chapter 24, verse 45, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ كُلَّ دَابَّةٍ مِّن مَّا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has created every dab, every living thing, every living creation, مِّن مَّا, from water. فَمِنْهُمْ مَن يَمْشِي عَلَى بَطْنِي, and from that, there are some that they walk or they move upon their bellies, upon their stomachs. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى رُجْلَيْنِ, and from among them, some walk upon their legs. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى أَرْبَعٍ, and some walk or move upon four legs. اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. But yes, yeah, some scholars have stated, some mufassirins, of course, it is among other mufassirins, other commentators of the Quran, they said, no, well, we cannot say that this is the same as the theory of evolution. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything from water, he's saying that, yes, the basic element of life, anything that has life, it needs water to survive. This is one of the basic elements of life. And from that, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى بَطْنِ, and from those creations, that some move upon their belly, some move upon two legs, some move upon four legs, does not necessarily prove evolution, does not necessarily also reject it. But one thing is clear, that whether, again, as I said, we need to examine all of the elements of evolution, and sure, there's some parts of the theory which are wrong. There may be some elements of it that may make sense, you can actually prove. But nonetheless, what is critical within our understanding of the universe and how this universe began, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states that Allah yakhluqu ma yasha. He is the one who creates what he wills, how he wills. He puts it in a fashion, in an order, however he wants. In Allah, ala kulli shayin qadir. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one, he has power over everything. Because we have to think also that when this universe was put into, or brought into being, was it brought into being by chance? And then we as human beings, we developed into rational beings. So there's an irrational beginning, but a rational middle during our life. And then at the end, there's an irrational end. Because, again, among these series, who explains death? And what happens after death? For the most part, science leaves out, it's like, well, life ends and we die and we end, and that's it. So is this exactly the case? Life ends and there's nothing else beyond that? So we have an irrational beginning, a rational life on this earth or whatever, because we think and we reflect, we ponder, and then it just ends abruptly. As it began, abruptly. It began without any reflection, without any intelligent beginning. It became intelligent, whatever life is, consider intelligent. And then in the end, there's no intelligence. There's nothing. Is this the, again, the direction of life? Or is there something beyond that? أَمَّنْ يَبْدُؤُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ. Is he not the one who has begun this creation and he has returned this creation to him? And what is interesting is that, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has begun this creation and he will return this creation back to himself, and ma'ad, he has given us signs of this in this universe. Actually, life after death. Even to the point that it's not simply, again, something that, well, those who are religious, they believe in, or they can fathom its possibility. But even if we are reflecting that issue of the beginning and end, if we are truly pondering it, we can discover, yes, in the idea and the concept of ma'ad, of the hereafter, of life after death, or as we could say, existing after death, after our physical existence has been terminated from this earth, that we still have a type of existence. This is something that we see in creation. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he points out in the Quran. This is something that, again, the Prophet and Imams, alayhi wa sallatu wa salam, that they spoke about. They gave us indications of this. Unfortunately, we have not indulged in understanding these to the point that, okay, well, where is the example of this in this physical world? One of the things, just as an example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states that those who eat the wealth of the yatim, meaning that they're responsible for spending money on that, on the orphans. The orphan may have an inheritance, however, because the orphan is not mature, is not balig, so someone is left in charge of that orphan. But he misuses the inheritance of the orphan and uses it for himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explains in the Quran, he says that this person is eating fire, only if he knew. Only if he knew. If we take it simply for its apparent meaning, we may think that, well, how is this possible? Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states also in the Quran that one of the punishments of hell, the hellfire, is that a person, he or she will burn from the inside out. I think, is this possible? Is there possible that someone can actually burn from the inside out? But we have indications of these things even today. Sometimes we may eat some hot food or something that doesn't sit right with us. What happens? We get heartburn. We start burning on the inside. Or we have ulcers. Again, and we are burning on the inside. It feels like a burning feeling. And of course, it's not the hellfire itself, but it's an indication of that. That what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, that it is possible that someone will burn from the inside out. The, of course, the physics of this world are not the same as that of the world hereafter. It's a different element, it's a different world, it's a different realm. Which again, our scholars, when they study metaphysics, they say it's beyond the physics of this world. Nonetheless, the examples of those things have been given to us in this world. That one can burn inside out. That the punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about are possible. So we have to contemplate, we have to reflect. Is this the only world? Or is our being or beginning intelligent? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he concludes these verses with this understanding. أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ. Is he not the one who has begun this creation? And he will return it back to himself. And we see the creation, we see this world, how plants, how vegetation, it lives and then it dies. Even human beings, civilizations, come into being. But again, they meet the inevitable fate of death. The one thing that no matter how intelligent we are and how intelligent we have become, that we can't stop it. No matter what medicine we've created, maybe you can slow it down a bit. Someone's ill, so you give them medicine. Helps them to survive for a little bit longer, but this is the one thing that we cannot stop. Death. It will come. It is also the one thing which, again, as Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, if you look at the life of man, he says, this is the one thing that mankind has absolute certainty in, but yet doubts it. The one thing that there's absolute certainty in, and that is death. But yet we doubt that. There may not be like a certainty about, okay, how we began, how did life begin, how did this world begin? People are going to debate about that. Evolution or creationism. They may debate about that. But the one thing that there's certainty about, that you will not avoid, it is death. Nor can you stop it. But yet we think that, well, death is not going to come to me. I'm young. Oh, I'm 20 years old. Average age of death is 70. I'm 20, so oh, I have 50 more years. No. Death can come at any time. The one thing that is absolute certainty, it will come. It will happen. And if we are theorizing and we're trying to understand the beginning of creation, we cannot subtract that, or we cannot avoid what will happen at the end. If there's a beginning, there will be an end. And what is that ending? How have we contemplated that and reflected that? How have we prepared ourselves for that? How have we prepared ourselves for that? And this is one of the very interesting, again, patterns that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he places in these five verses, that he begins that he is the Khaliq. These verses that he begins, Amman, he's drawing our attention to it. First he says, أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is he not the one who is created? That he is خَالِق. Meaning that he has brought something that did not exist before into existence. أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا. And then after he's brought that thing which is non-existence into existence, he is the one who is sustaining it. He is the one who is taking care of it. He is the one who is making it stable. So he's Khalik wal Ja'il. Then he ends that he is Mubdi. He's also the one who has begun it and he will bring it back to him. Mubdi wa Mu'id. So if we are reflecting the beginning, we must reflect the end as well. In order to make our understanding of this universe complete, the understanding of our own lives complete. That why are we here? Are we here just out of a mistake? And then we find some sort of mundane purpose in life that only is connected to this world, and then again we go. And there's nothing to prepare for, nothing to reflect after this life. Or is our beginning with a purpose by an intelligent being that has created us? And in this world we have a purpose. And in the end we also have a purpose, a focus, a goal, a objective. Again, this is something that when we reflect upon the events of Karbala, that we are to reflect upon that, the end. What is the end? What is going to happen to us in the end? Imam Hussein Ali Hafiz Hussain said that Ana qatilul abara. Ana qatilul abara. La yadhkuruni mu'minun illa sta'abara. I am the shaheed, the one who has been martyred. That when my martyrdom, when my death is reflected, it brings about tears. Qatilul abara. And though it brings about these tears and mourning and sadness, la yadhkuruni mu'minun, a believer does not remember me, illa sta'abara, except that he takes some understanding. He heeds and he takes a message from this death, this martyrdom. And one of those messages is about the end. That what will happen to us in the end? This is why we see on a night like this, Tasua, in Karbala, in the month of Muharram, that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, he gathered his companions. Many of them had already been praying, reciting Quran, understanding that tomorrow is Ashura. That tomorrow, as Imam Hussein, he mentioned that no one would survive. Anyone who walked out onto the battlefield, they would not survive. These individuals, they understood that death was inevitable. And so they began to prepare with salat and dua, a recitation of Quran. And at one point, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, he called his companions that come. They came with Imam Hussein and he stated, he asked one person to put out the lights. And as we are sitting here in the dark, imagining yourselves that in the dark with the Imam, that he is saying to his companions, imagine that if the Imam was talking to you, imagine that if you were also with the Imam of your time. It was a night of bay'ah, a night of showing their loyalty and support for Imam Hussein. Imagine that if we were with the Imam of our time, that he has reappeared, and we were also asked to show our loyalty as the companions of Imam Hussein were asked. Imam Hussein, he stated, ha ya dhal layl that the darkness has come over you. It's at night. No one could see. فاتخذوه جملا ثم ليأخذوا كل رجل منكم بيد رجل من أهل بيتي. He said, the darkness has come over us. It is in the dark of the night. So why not one of you men take the hand of one man from among my Ahlul Bayt. Take them with you and leave. ثم تفرقوا في سوادكم ودائنكم. Take the hands of my Ahlul Bayt. Take the hands of my sons, of my brother. Take the hands and leave. Go. Return back to your cities. Return back in the dark of the night that no one will see you. I am giving this permission. I am giving you permission to go. But when Imam Hussein, he made the statement, the family of Imam Hussein, they came forth. Abbas, he came forth. They were stating, لَمْ نَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ لِنَبْقَ بَعْدَكَ. That, oh Imam, oh Mawlai, how can we do this? We cannot do this. We cannot leave you and think that we will live after you. Imam Hussein, he turned to the children of Aqil, of Muslim ibn Aqil. He said to the children of Muslim ibn Aqil, Ya Bani Aqil, hasbukum min al-qatli bi Muslim. That from your family, Muslim has given his life. Muslim ibn Aqil, he has given his life. This is sufficient for you. Then go. You have my permission to go. Idhabu qad adhantu lakum. That I have permitted you to go. That you have made a great sacrifice from your tribe. That was Muslim ibn Aqil. Then we see the children of Muslim ibn Aqil, the family of Muslim, they responded to Imam Hussein. They said, فَمَا يَقُولُ النَّاسُ يَقُولُونَ أَنَّا تَرَكْنَا شَيْخُنَا وَسَيِّدُنَا وَبَنِي عَمُومَتِنَا خَيْرَ الْعَمَامِ. Then how can it be stated that we left our mullah, that we have left our man, that we have left our uncle in this state with no one to help him? So the children of Muslim ibn Aqil, they also refused to go. And then among the companions of Imam Hussein, one elderly man, he stepped forward. His name was Habib ibn Wadahir. He was about 70 years old. He came and he said to Imam Hussein, Wallah, law alimtu anni uqtal, thumma uhya, thumma uhraq hayya. That I swear by Allah, if I know that I will be killed, and I will be brought back to life, and then I will be burnt alive. This was done to me 70 times. I will never leave you, Imam Hussein. I will never leave. And then the nephew of Imam Hussein, he came forth, Qasim ibn al-Hassan. He asked his uncle, he says, Ya Ammi, will I also be martyred tomorrow? Will death also reach me? And Imam Hussein, he looked at Qasim, he says, That death is sweeter than honey. Death is sweeter than honey. All of the companions of Imam Hussein, they showed their loyalty on this night, on the night of Joshua. They showed their loyalty to Imam Hussein. And on the day of Ashura, they gave their lives as they said they would. And even to the point that when Imam Hussein, he made his famous battle cry, that when he was alone, Hal min mu'inin yu'iduna, Hal min mu'inin. You're when he made this call, that is there anyone to help us? Is there anyone to help the family of Rasulullah? There was no one to answer. Everyone had been martyred. It stated that Imam Zain al-Abidin, he was the one who got up, and Imam Hussein, he looked at Imam Zain al-Abidin. He says that you cannot go forth because there will be no Imam after me. They all showed their loyalty. Imam Zain al-Abidin, he had asked also at that moment, that Ya Abata, that what has happened to your companions, that he is the only one who answered. What has happened to my uncle Abbas? What has happened to my brother Ali al-Akbar? And Imam Hussein, he answered, Qutil, Qutil, that they all have been martyred. But subhanAllah, that's what loyal family does Imam Hussein have. That even when he's left alone, we see that even Zainab salamullah alayha, she's saying that, oh, I wish that I could give my life for you, my brother. Zainab al-Kubra, that when Imam Hussein, he was returning back to the camp just to check on the women and those who would be remained behind after him, Imam Hussein, he stated to his sister right before his death, he says, Ya Ukhaya Ya La Yadhabanna Halmaka Shaytan. That, oh my sister, that what is about to happen, it will be difficult, but don't allow Shaytan to. Don't allow Shaytan to affect you at this moment. And Zainab al-Kubra, she responded to Imam Hussein. She responded to Imam Hussein, stating, Bi abi anta wa ummi ya aba abdillah. That I ransom my mother and my father. Bi abi anta wa ummi ya aba abdillah. Istaqdat al-tu never see you for that. How I wish that I can go out and I can give my life for you. And said that Zainab al-Kubra, shortly after that, she fainted, and Imam Hussein, فَصَبَّعَنَا وَجْهِهَا الْمَا, that he put water on the face of Zainab just to bring her back to consciousness. And he stated to her, يَا أُخَيَّا اِتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَتَعَزَّى بِعَزَاءِ اللَّهِ. That, oh my sister, have patience, and mourn for the sake of Allah. وَعَلَمِي أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْأَرْضِ يَمُوتُونَ. And know that the people of this earth, they will die, they will all die. Imam Hussein, he was letting her know that she, that he will soon die, he will give his life. Zainab al-Kubra, at that point she began to cry. She says that, I have seen, I have seen Mata Dijati Rasulullah, my grandfather Rasulullah, he has died, he has gone past. Mata Abi Amir al-Mu'mineen, my father Amir al-Mu'mineen, he has passed. Mata Fatima Ummi, my mother Fatima, she has also passed. Wa mata akhi Hassan, and also my brother Hassan has died. And now Imam Hussein, he is going forth. Wa ya Hussein, wa shaheed.